Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
It's time for Ask Me Anything here in Lunchtime Live, where we put your questions to people from maybe interesting background or working in an unusual or different career. Today, sports broadcaster and commentator Cathal Mullally is with me in studio to answer listener questions. Cathal, you're very welcome.
Hi, Andrea. Thank you.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Get your questions in, send your voice notes in to us. We have this query from Andrew.
Hi, Cathal. How did you get started in sports commentary?
Hello, Andrew. How are you? Well, I suppose just on the start of it, as I said to Andrew, when we were in here a little bit earlier on, started off with a taster in transition year when I went to a local radio station close to where I'm from in the west of Ireland and a local newspaper as well. And then kind of felt that I had an interest in it at that point, and then kind of had my chance to go to college, study journalism in college along with politics, and then was lucky enough to get a break at local radio level then with Ocean FM, which was my local radio station down at home, and started from there on GA and soccer, and then progressed on to News Talk here, and then with RTÉ and Premier Sports as well. So that was kind of the start.
But I suppose you don't necessarily need to have a qualification, but probably in today's day and age it's helpful.
Well, absolutely. And I think everyone feels, don't they, in every kind of career that you need the piece of paper, as they say. But I certainly would feel that you learn the most that you learn is when you're actually thrown in at the deep end and behind the microphone during a match or in the studio or something like that. So I would certainly say that if you're looking to get into it or wanted to get started, throw yourself in at the deep end. And there's actually a lot of chances now, probably even compared
more
to when I started
ever.
10 years ago, because you've got all the streaming and stuff now as well.
Yeah. Okay, we've Mark has got in touch with this question.
Hi, Cathal. What is the hardest part of calling a game live?
Marcus, very good question. There's probably a lot of things. I guess one way that you can try and, or I certainly feel that you can try and help yourself, is to do loads and loads of preparation. And obviously you'll find a lot of the time before you do a game that you might only use a tenth of the work that you've done to prepare for the match. But the more prepared you feel, I think the easier you find it to call it. It does depend on the sport. Obviously, commentators are more comfortable with one sport compared to another. The teams that are involved, you'll be more familiar maybe with certain teams if you've done them repeatedly, for example, in the Premier League or the League of Ireland or in the GA, that you've done them a couple of times, then you become more au fait with the players and stuff like that. But I would say that the thing you can do to help yourself avoid any kind of major challenges or obstacles is really work hard in your preparation.
Okay, it's all in the preparation. James has this question.
Hi, Cathal. What is the most memorable moment you've ever commented on?
That's a good question as well, James. I'd hope that maybe this year we might have even more memorable ones if Ireland make it to the World Cup, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
But I think some of the stuff that you see when you're in the stadiums, I think for me, one that always stands out to me, Andrea, is during COVID times, I really enjoyed being able and been fortunate enough to be allowed into stadiums when a lot of people weren't allowed into stadiums during COVID times. And during the COVID pandemic, when Meath won the All-Ireland women's football title for the first time, they beat Dublin. I think Croke Park was only half full that day because we had the crowd restrictions, but just the noise that was there that day was unbelievable. That really always stands out to me.
Sticks out.
Yeah. And then there are a couple of other, like Olympic Games and stuff like that, and the World Cup was unbelievable, but that's certainly one that I was at that was that really stands out.
Typically, do sports commentators, you know, specialise in a sport, or are you better? Like, are your chances of getting, you know, a job as a commentator increased if you dip your toe into
probably all of it? In the current climate, Andrea? Yeah, I think that's probably the way that the media has gone too. That if you're able to do more stuff, you're probably more inclined to get work. But certainly, people would have specialised in the past, and you'd have certain people. You know, George Hamilton, for example, was one of the iconic commentators that we've had in this country, and he was synonymous with the Irish football team and their run. But he also did other stuff as well. There are people that have specialised in GAA, like Gerard Canning or Marty Morrissey, and people like that. So, but I think generally now commentators are starting to go across maybe more sports and have more sports in their repertoire, if you like.
Ryan has sent in this voice note.
Do you ever get any feedback from athletes and coaches after you've commentated on a game?
I'm sure it's very helpful to get it too.
Well, I tell you, what you actually get and can be challenging, and people will say this too, is that the post-match interview can obviously usually be a difficult one, particularly with a losing manager or player that, you know, there might have been a controversial decision or something. And you might ask a question that mightn't necessarily be framed in a certain way, but even the tone of it, or maybe managers come out and they're still spinning fire after losing a match. That can obviously be very, very difficult. But yeah, absolutely. I think people absolutely think a lot of their sport and think a lot of their teams. And sometimes if you have a slip or something like that, you'll certainly hear about it. And another thing, Andrea, is social media. It's easy to get to you now as well.
Big
if
time.
People want to get in touch with you.
I've no doubt that every, every fan is quick to jump on to tell you how they feel you perform.
Yeah, absolutely. I think probably more for the bigger guys at the upper end of the scale, they'll hear more from the fans, but that's certainly a way of getting through.
This voice though from Claire.
My question is, do you have to have knowledge of all sports? Or do you kind of like specialise in one?
Yeah, that's a good question again, Claire. I think it depends on what the genre is. Certainly for me, as I said to Andrew earlier on, the sports that I'd be most comfortable with, probably Gaelic games and soccer, probably because I had an interest in those myself, and I've probably done the most work that I have done commentary-wise on them. But obviously then you get assigned to different things. So for example, in the Olympics a couple of years ago, I really enjoyed commentating on canoe slalom, which is something that I didn't really know much about at all, but an absolutely fantastic experience to commentate on that. And funny enough now, there's a walk near where I live in Lucan, alongside the river there, where the canoe slalom people actually train. So now I get to see it regularly, but it's a really interesting sport.
Yeah.
But obviously that required quite a bit of research.
087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. If you have a question about the world of sports commentary for Cathal Milani, listeners wondering, what's your dream event to commentate on? Or have you already had that opportunity?
I think for me, it's always the All-Ireland football or hurling final. I think they're the biggest days in our sporting calendar. And that's always the one that I think stands out in the year for me, for sure.
That's election day for news journalists, basically. You guys get it twice a year, every year. Okay, so that's your most memorable, or your dream event. You've answered the question about most memorable. Are you always at the games, or are you in studio watching the game on TV? I've always wondered that, asks this listener.
It depends on, obviously, sometimes if games are fixed very short notice and stuff, or they're the other side of the world and there's a short build-in time, you mightn't be able to get to the games, but generally commentators will be at the event that they're at.
What's your favourite? Oh, you answered the favourite sport. Listeners wondering, have you ever been thrown in last minute and had to use somebody else's notes?
Ooh, no, I don't think that. I don't think so. No. Now you have. Sometimes you do get a late call. You know, different things happen or stuff like that. And like I said,
someone's sick or something.
Sometimes with rights deals and stuff like that, it's very late in the day when it's agreed with between broadcasters to broadcast a certain event or a match is fixed. So sometimes you can have limited preparation time. But I don't think I've had to use anyone else's notes. Yeah.
Do you all have your? You know, I presume it's a little bit like shorthand. You have your own way.
Everyone would have their own way, I presume. Yeah, I certainly have a way of going about it, and I actually really enjoy the preparation part of it, getting stuck into facts and figures, and it's great. You know, for example, the Premier League, they provide loads of data for you on different bits and pieces, but you also like to do your own bits and pieces as well, that you rely on your own information, and you know, you trawl through the papers the week of a game or the week after a game to get your different stats and figures and notes on players and stuff like that. And it's great now because there's so much out there.
Yeah,
it was obviously more difficult in previous generations. Now if there's a press conference over in England on a Friday before a Premier League match, you get to see it.
Thomas sent in this voice, no call.
Hi, Cathal. Have you ever called someone by the wrong name live on air? If so, how do you deal with it?
I probably have, Tom. Yeah, lots of times.
That's probably the best thing in the worst case scenario things that can happen.
It's always something that you fear, but I probably have. Yeah, absolutely. But I suppose you just have to try and carry on and keep going as best you can.
Listeners wondering, what's the best stadium to commentate in?
For me, I would say, you know, GAA is definitely the one that I would really enjoy the most, I would say. And for me, I actually love going to Semple Stadium in Thurles, home of the GAA. Yeah, I think there's a great sense of history around there, and always a joy to travel down to Thurles. Crow Park, obviously, as well, would be a standout. And like I said, it was great during COVID when we were lucky enough to be allowed to go to the matches to broadcast from them, to be able to get into the stadiums at that time. I saw a lot of the League of Ireland grounds. Actually spent a lot of time at Ballybuffet and Derry during COVID at different League of Ireland matches. But yeah, I would say pretty Semple Stadium in Thurles is the one that I like.
most. 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number for your voice notes. What's the hardest name you've ever had to pronounce when commentating live at a match? Ask this listener.
I don't know. There's lots.
Tennis. God, when I used to have to read the odds sports bulletin. I hated Wimbledon.
You didn't like Wimbledon or the Australian Open that's coming up soon. Some of them can be difficult. Actually, one innovation that they've come up with that's really helpful is if you go onto YouTube, you can see that the Premier League, for example, has done a video of all the players in the Premier League standing in front of a camera and saying their name. Really, really useful. And then you can go along with that when you're trying to do your pronunciation. Now, it obviously takes a lot of practice, and I still probably get some of them wrong, I would have to admit.
Rachel has sent in this voice note.
Hi, Cahill. How much preparation goes into a match? Do you have to know the stats on every player before a game?
That's true, Rachel. Mm. You would have to try and know as many stats as you can on different players. But it's not a case of shoehorning those stats in and showing everybody then your work. I think you only use the stats when they're actually relevant to what's used. I would try and do
people
that.
People probably don't always care who Cahill Mullaney's granny's cousin was.
Exactly.
You know?
But if it's relevant, you might try and get it in there. And I think the key part is not to get in the way of the viewer's experience and let the match play out itself. I think I'm always trying to be conscious of that because I probably do talk too much. But in terms of preparation, certainly it depends on the lead-in time you have to a match. But if you've got a game coming up, for example, what day is today? It's Friday. If you had a game next Friday, you'd certainly like to do 10 or 12 hours maybe in the week between different bits and pieces. And then you'd like to watch matches back that the teams might have played or the person that you're commentating on might have played. So that would be my goal, maybe, if you could say. But it varies.
When commentating on hurling, how do you tell the players apart when they've helmets on?
The numbers on the back of the jerseys you'd have to rely on. And then, like I said earlier on, when you do teams repeatedly, you kind of get to know people's mannerisms and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I know other people would go on, for example, TJ Reid might wear a hurling glove. That might set him apart from other players. If you didn't get a look at his number, you weren't entirely sure. And different players wear their socks up or socks down, the colour of their boots, their physique, stuff like that. But I think once you do teams a few times and you're watching the games, you will kind of know the players regardless. But they actually, Andrea, changed a rule in the GAA recently where some of the numbers on the backs of the jerseys weren't terribly visible because they were camouflaged nearly with the colour of the jersey. But now they've got a flat back on the back, so it's the number on top of, say, plain white or something like that.
To make it stand out.
Easier, yeah.
Listener says, you must have incredible eyesight because they can barely see the players on the TV.
Well, I think hopefully I do still, thank God, but there are commentators that would have binoculars as well, and it can be helpful to bring binoculars. At times, if you have the time to use them, of course, during a match or whatever, if you're reporting on a match.
Danny has sent in this voice note.
How do you stay neutral when covering teams you personally like?
Yeah, good question. As Andrea told me off air, Sligo don't get to the latter stage of the championship too often. So I don't have that problem.
That was the off air commentary call.
But, so I don't tend to have that problem too often, unfortunately, but maybe soon, sometime in the future, Sligo might get to the latter stages of the All-Ireland Championship. But you have to try and stay neutral. Of course you do.
Yeah. Predictions for Sam Maguire and Liam McCarthy this year, asks this listener.
Yeah, we were actually chatting about this morning on News Talk Breakfast. I think I said Kerry for the Sam again.
God.
I think Kerry might go all the way again. They were so impressive last year, unfortunately, for Donegal, Andrea. And then in hurling, I think Cork might bounce back. Going to be a really interesting hurling championship. I think Limerick might have the kick in them as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
How many games a year would you commentate on every year, this listener is wondering?
Yeah, it depends. That's a really good question and not one that I had really thought of. I guess depending on if you include highlights and stuff like that, and maybe 60 or 70, but that's just very much off the top of my head. And it will vary as well depending on what's on. For example, if the European Championships were on one summer in 2024, was it the World Cup is on this year?
Are you going, actually?
So, not sure yet. Don't know. It'll depend. You know,
presume you'd like to, though.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think it's everybody's goal to get there. And I suppose for lots of us, it'll depend on whether Ireland are there or not, whether a lot of people will head to the credit union and maybe get themselves over there.
Right, to go. Lister says, you'd be a great man at a table quiz.
Do you think? I don't know. I was on the news, the off the ball quiz recently. I got hammered, so I'm not sure.
Really? listener wondering as well, if you're doing a Premier League game, is it often just a case that you fly over and back in the one day?
It can be, yeah. So the Premier League games tends to be week to week. So like at the moment, it's a really busy schedule. But the Premier League is interesting too from an Irish point of view in that The rights deals are different in Ireland, so they can show a game at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, which is not actually allowed, to the best of my knowledge, in England at the moment. But I think the way that sports broadcasting is going, and you know this as well, Andrea, the media in general, I think the way it's going, the rights deals will be changing, and there's different streaming platforms becoming involved, and, you know, Netflix getting involved in live sport and stuff like that too. So it'll be an interesting few years, I'd say, on that front.
Listeners looking for advice on how to stay warm in a stadium. They assume that you're out in the cold all the time.
Yeah, it can be very cold, especially where you can be up, for example, in Croke Park. You're way up.
It's
in
very
the
high up,
yeah,
actually.
It is. It's well up there. So, yeah, lots of long jackets and gloves and scarves and I think
Under Armour,
yeah, exactly,
long tops.
So you can wrap up nicely, and even the golf clothes might come out as well.
To try and do it. And finally, listener wondering, do you and other commentators, when you are commentating in games, do you swap notes, or is this each man for themselves?
Not in my experience. It depends on, I guess, for example, if you're in a tournament situation where everybody's really busy, it might be helpful, and you can ask different questions, and different people will spot different things in a certain match, how a certain player might be performing or not. But generally, you'll try and do your own preparation and then work from there.
Good stuff. Cathal Mullally, thanks a million for joining us for this week's Ask Me Anything.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.